Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are indeed presented by Bax Homeworks. Remodeling done right. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. Derek and I are live at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown. Come join us on the brand new rooftop area. The Ryder Cup is on. It's a beautiful afternoon. The windows are going to be open. So if you're looking for a great way to kick off the weekend, may I suggest Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse. Gentlemen, Derek, Willie, how are we today?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. I just got this new cell phone, this iPhone thing, and I swear, either I'm getting a little bit outside of that group that really knows how to work a cell phone or new cell phones, or my cell phone is just, I don't know. I'm trying to get it to download everything. It is. Some things it is. Some things it isn't. Maybe I should have waited till after work to go do this.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so now I tried to send David my music. It wouldn't go through. David, did you finally get the music?
I finally got it. I got your
music. He finally got the music. See, Willie, man, I wanted to be cutting edge today. I think I'm still able to be cutting edge. But, man, oh, man, this new phone thing is throwing everything off, man. I'm not getting text messages. Can't send any. I don't know what's going on.
Willie looks like he's in a bunker of some kind. Where are you, Willie?
Well, we have an unprecedented move, doing the show from a dorm room.
Oh, okay. All right. First time?
Yeah, I have done shows from Evie's residence on a college campus as a college student, but she was not in a dorm per se. Today, I'm actually in a dorm. So I am underneath the bunk bed and ready to rock and roll from Granville, Ohio, Denison University campus.
What other show gives you what we're giving you? One of our hosts.
A grown man in the dorm
room? A grown man underneath a bunk bed doing his show. That's dedication. That's what you don't get from many places. But Willie Donick, Willie D, Coach Willie, he's giving it to you. He don't
That's
even
right.
He's not even scared of the bell if the bed kind of tilts some. He's not even worried about that. He's not worried about that. He's not worried about that person behind him either, are you?
That's right. I'm channeling my inner Thornton Mellon from the movie Back to School.
Yes.
Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, man, go to a triple Lindy, man.
Triple Lindy, yeah, attending class, handing out stuff. This is definitely what's going to happen tonight for Parents Weekend. I'm going to college, as he said.
A couple of news and notes ahead of the Titans matchup at the Houston Texans. The Tennessee Titans have released their final injury report. Cam Ward, once again, a full participant in practice after he was limited earlier this week with an ankle/calf injury. So Cam Ward is good to go. J.C. Latham out once again with the hip injury. Bryce Oliver will also be out with a knee injury. Kevin Zeitler was a full participant today. He will play as well. For the Houston Texans, Nico Collins, and we'll get to Nico Collins in just a moment, is off the injury report. After dealing with a knee injury, he is good to go. Derek Stingley Jr. returned to practice on a limited basis today and is questionable with an oblique injury. So there are your injury news and notes ahead of the Titans matchup this weekend in Houston. But speaking of Nico Collins, here's how we are going to start today's program. I am going to start it with a declaration of love.
Oh, okay. I like that.
I love Joe Rexroad. Joe Rexroad and I have worked together now for three separate companies. When Joe Rexroad moved to Tennessee from Michigan.
So who's following who then?
He followed me.
Okay.
He moved here after I was already working at the Tennessean. We worked together at the Tennessean. I believe we were hired at the same time. Actually, no, he followed me again to The Athletic. I was hired first. Then he joined The Athletic. And then I followed him here to 102.5 The Game. So Joe Rexroad and I have worked together for three different companies. I love that man. He's a wonderful man. He is a great columnist. He is a great radio host.
That's too many greats, man.
I'm trying to build him up before I knock him down.
I'm just messing with you.
So Joe Rexroad this morning had a take on Robbie and Rexroad that was so terrible. Ooh. Even Robbie Stanley himself said it was the worst take in the history of the Robbie and Rex Road program, which has been going on for what now? Almost 10 years, I have to, thereabouts? It's been a long time. So let's just set the stage before we play the clip. So if you recall, we talked about this briefly yesterday. L'Jarius Sneed was asked in the Titans locker room about Nico Collins. And on two occasions, he said, who? Then that got back to Nico Collins, who had his own things to say about it. Basically, I'll see you on the field, L'Jarius Sneed. Then one of the Titans position coaches tried to put out the fire by saying, no, 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 we have all of the respect in the world for Nico Collins. That's not what L'Jarius Sneed was doing. And Robbie and Joe were talking about that this morning. David James, if you please. Here is just a snippet of what Joe Rexroad had to say today and what was termed by Robbie Stanley as the worst take on the in the history of the Robbie and Rexroad program.
I don't think he was talking trash. Like, if you watch the video, it's like someone said, you know, like, who? And then Bukharski said he said it twice. Did he say it twice?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think you're reaching, like, Inspector Gadget reaching at all. This one.
Dude, I watched this thing, and I'm just like, yeah, he's not. You think he was intentionally like, oh, who?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God. No, he was not. Dude, what's
– You think the answer is he doesn't know who Nico Collins is?
He is a – dude, L'Jarius Sneed is oblivious to many things. I promise you that my theory, which is a true theory.
Hell, I don't know who that is.
I promise.
Who's Nico Collins?
Listen, so again, you think he's intentionally saying, who?
Yes, oh, I think that's probably a better explanation than he doesn't know who the number one wide receiver on the Houston Texans is.
So that was just part of it. Rex Rhodes' point, as you heard right there, is that L'Jarius Sneed legitimately did not know who Nico Collins was. He mentioned how, and Derek, I want you to speak to this. He mentioned how oftentimes when you go in a locker room and you ask a player about a player on another team, they often refer to that player by their number. So if you go in the Texans locker room and ask a Texans player about Jeffrey Simmons, that player will say, oh, 98, he's tough. And Rex Rhodes' point was they know the player, they know the number because they're watching the film. But they really don't know the player. I think that's what he was saying. I agree with Robbie. It's a ridiculous take. But what do you make of this, Derek? Do you believe, like Joe Rexroad believes, that L'Jarius Sneed legitimately does not know who Nico Collins is?
Do I believe it was trash talk? No, but I do believe that unless it was noisy in there, there's no reason for that man, when the question is asked twice, Nico Collins, and you say who twice, gamesmanship. If you don't want to call it talking trash, just call it gamesmanship. That's just what it was, gamesmanship. Of course he knows who Nico Collins is, but it's gamesmanship. That's all it is. Now, Nico took it a certain way, and rightfully so. Like, okay, that's how you want to roll. You don't know who I am? Okay. All right. Wait till we get on the field. Let's settle it all when we get on the field. It's just like boxing. Oh, you don't know who I am? All right. We'll settle in the ring. Don't worry about it. Even though I know that you know that I know that you know what I've been doing. You know? But you want to say, okay, it's all gamesmanship. It's he knew who he was. Is it a form of trash talking? In a subtle way. Not straight up in your face, in a sort of subtle around the way, which to me, like, just say, like, what you mean. Don't say, well, who is, like, don't come around a corner. Come straight through my backyard, like, what's up? You know, don't try to come around a corner and hesitate. Just come straight through the yard, like, what's up? I'm here. And Sneed didn't do that. He chose to say, who? It's a form of trash talking. It's almost sort of like, passive aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was, passive aggressive, gamesmanship. That's all it was. But Retro, what you're trying to say, no. Yeah. I wouldn't say it was the worst take ever, but come on, Rex.
I'm just repeating
seriously
what Robbie said earlier today.
We all have some really bad takes,
we
and I'm
do.
Sure, and I'm sure Rex have had a take worse than that one.
He's
so,
had some doozies.
Exactly. So, and we all have. So mm-hmm. I consider that light. I consider it he's trying to downplay it in a sense, meaning Rex Road.
Willie, your thoughts?
My thought is it's a creative perspective from Joe, I guess we can't prove that he's wrong. I guess I don't know Legarius Sneed that well, but my thought would be, has he ever done that before? That would be evidence that Joe would probably need to bring to the table. Otherwise, I'm sort of leaning towards Derek. I don't think it was meant to be a total pot shot. I think he was just trying to be subtle and basically saying who. So I hadn't even thought about it until Joe brought it up, but I do think it was more towards the trash talk part of the spectrum.
I think Joe brought up Lawrence Taylor, and I think there have been stories about how Lawrence Taylor didn't always know the names of the teams he was playing against or players on the other team.
Well, there was a reason why Lawrence Taylor didn't know. Okay.
Ken Griffey Jr. supposedly was like that too. He didn't worry about who the starting pitcher was on the other team.
Reason why LT didn't know. LT, he had some extracurricular things he was doing while he was playing. So there's a reason why he probably didn't know. But outside of that, I think it's just gamesmanship.
Yeah, I could not get on Rex Rhodes' level this morning with that take. And what I love about our station and all of the hosts who host shows on this station is that we can all take the piss out of each other because we like each other. And I've known Rex Rhodes for a long time. He's a wonderful man, a great columnist, a good friend of mine. But Joe, that was a doozy, my friend. And Robbie was right for calling you out. I'm just putting it out there. Hair Metal Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says he definitely did not have a Thornton Melon reference on the bingo card for today's program. So,
oh, well.
Willie's back at school.
There you go.
I'm trying to keep people off balance. You never know what you're going to hear on this show.
Hey, that's what we do, man.
One commenter on our YouTube chat says, Sneed shouldn't be talking trash to anyone right now, LOL. And perhaps you could make that argument because Legarius Sneed hasn't had the best start to the season. And as I said yesterday, Nico Collins' 100-yard receiving game incoming. We'll see if that makes it to my take it to the bank at the end of the program. One texter says, his, meaning Joe Rex Rhodes' larger point, was that there are athletes that are great at their sport that don't actually like slash aren't fans of sports, so they have very little knowledge of the athletes in those sports.
Listen, this man that he's going against plays the sport that he plays the sport that he has to watch film on. So there's no way, and I repeat, no way that he shouldn't know who Nico Collins is by name. Hell, he should know his address. He should know his social security number. He should know his shoe size. He should know his t-shirt size. Okay? That's how it is. You can ask Deion Sanders. He would probably know everything about every receiver that he went up against. So to me, that was just gamesmanship. He knows who Nico Collins is. And believe me, who was the texter again?
Just a no-name texter.
Oh, no-name texter? Who are we pulling up today?
How about Thornton Melon, since it's top of mind?
Yeah, Thornton Melon. There we go. Thornton Melon, if you don't know who your opponent is, you're not doing your job, and you shouldn't be playing that week.
Now, Derek, did any corners out there have the temerity, the audacity to call you out before a game like that?
No, not at all.
And if they did, what would you do?
And I'd do just what Nico said. All right, we'll see. Don't worry about it. We'll see. Well, we all got to line up. We all got to line up on Sunday. There's no way of avoiding
it. I do think that is the tiebreaker. The tiebreaker is Robbie's point that if it were just an unknown, maybe up-and-coming wide receiver that had a couple of big games, that'd be one thing. But Nico Collins should be well enough known that it should be understood. Like, even if you're one of those guys, I do know a lot of people. Buddy Ryan used to be like that all the time. 54, the linebacker. He wouldn't know the names. He was famous for that. So I can see Joe's point, but you should know Nico Collins. So that's the tiebreaker.
Wes in Clarksville says, I don't think you should legally be allowed to trash talk until you have won a game.
Well, that too. But trash talking is not something you do because you're winning. That's who you are. You just trash talk, winning or losing. It don't matter.
B-Man on our text line says, maybe the entire Titans team doesn't know who any of their opponents are. Well, maybe that explains the 0-3 start.
Yeah, if that was the case, then we would have a huge problem, a titanic problem.
One texter says, one.
Wow, come on, man. That was a good one.
The Titanic Titans jokes have been overdone.
But that don't mean I can't use it every once in a while. I can see if I've been using it every show, but I hadn't. So that's a good one.
All right, who's Rose in this scenario and who's Jack on the floating dresser
know.
Or whatever it is in the ice-cold water?
I don't know. So you're talking about show-wise?
I'm talking about the movie. The movie Titanic.
Yeah, what about it?
With Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes. So who's who?
So who's who in that scenario? I'll never let go, Jack.
Well, I don't know.
Willie, help me out here.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, I don't know. Like me, you're saying, obviously I would be Jack.
Oh, you would, you know? Would you?
Yeah, why, you know, why would I be the girl? McCall would be whoever the girl was.
Well, okay, the girl survives.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but,
good
I mean,
point.
Yeah.
All
but
right.
We all go sometime. Are we getting off the rails?
We are. Dustin
and
Hopkins.
Because y'all, you asked a question, man.
I know. Dustin from Hopkinsville says Sneed is going to get to know Colin so well after this game that he's going to be able to tell what brand of draws he's got on during the game. He's going to be chasing that butt all day.
That's a good one. If he's wearing draws, though, during the game, something's wrong with him.
Willie, can you attempt the triple Lindy? A texter is asking.
I don't know if Denison has the pool that has the necessary platforms and diving boards to pull off the triple Lindy. But and I feel like I've scoured the campus. They have very good facilities here, but I don't think they have that.
They do
have an outstanding swim program, to, as a matter of fact, Division III national champions. But
well, you can just do the Lindy.
I'll have to get a key to the pool and see if I can go find out.
Just do the Lindy. That's all.
Like Pat McAfee at the end of College Game Day last week when he jumped off the high dive after picking Miami to beat Florida. That's what we need to do, Willie. You need to do your take it to the bank picks while jumping off of a high dive.
I would prescribe it.
It's a great idea.
That.
We can get Mahoney to film it. We'll live stream it.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a great idea. You have about 2.5 hours to pull this off.
Well,
starting now.
I don't think this is going to happen. I can't promise anything today, but this will not be the last show I do from this campus. So in the future, you never know what you're going to see.
I don't want to see anything.
All right.
You don't want to see that.
Let's go streaking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Derek and I are live from Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown. Come on out here and join us. We're at the rooftop, or on the rooftop, I should say. It's a beautiful day. The windows are open. It's also a great place to go after the Vanderbilt game tomorrow. It's an early kickoff for Vanderbilt against Utah State at 11:45, just a few blocks away at First Bank Stadium. So come on over here after the game, post-game specials from 3 to 5. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we know that quarterback development isn't linear, and I believe that the Titans' opponent on Sunday is a perfect example of that. We'll discuss that coming up next. Again, 615-737-1025 is the number. If you are looking for a good spot to watch the NFL games this weekend, then you should come to Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 1025 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Texans. The pregame show is brought to you by Parma Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brewworks. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week on 94.9 The Fan is the Packers versus the Cowboys at 7:20 p.m. Micah Parsons' return to Dallas, that should be a good one. The NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek and I are live at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown. Come join us on this brand new, beautiful rooftop. Great view. Willie, we miss you. I'm going to eat all of the steak that was supposed to be prepared for you today, so sorry about it.
Well, I am very disappointed not to be at Jimmy Kelly's. It is a great spot. We had such a great time there last Friday. And, you know, you can't play in two places at once. That's unfortunate. So I'm here trying to be Thornton Mellon and support the youth and join the Denison Big Red for the weekend. But sacrifices must be made. So I'm gonna miss Jimmy Kelly's. It's a tough sacrifice. Tough game.
Yeah. It is.
One texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, says, if Bryce Oliver is hurt and Calvin Ridley can't catch a cold right now, I'm not even sure what Tyler Lockett's number is. He is non-existent. Why not give Restrepo a shot? Hell, he might even catch it if it touches his hands. What a concept. Texter, we've got to stop trying to make Xavier Restrepo happen, all right? It was a fun little story during the offseason. It's not happening. I'm sorry. It's just not. No disrespect to Xavier Restrepo. I know that some of you strep throaters out there are wanting him to get in some game action to see if his connection with Cam Ward can transfer, I should say, from Miami to the NFL. It ain't going to happen. But I do agree with the idea that Calvin Ridley can't catch a cold and Tyler Lockett is non-existent. But we'll put that off to the side for just a second. So, gentlemen, I am going to read to you something I read today, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit so as not to give it away. But I'm going to read you something, and I want you to tell me who this is a reference to. Okay? The young quarterback's lack of success is a direct reflection of the offense he's running. He's a young quarterback learning under an inexperienced offensive coordinator who appears to be in over his head. To whom am I referring when I read that, Derek?
You'd think the Titans.
You would think that. Willie?
Well, based on your tease, Adam, unless you're throwing a nasty curveball, would you be referring to a team that plays in Houston?
I would be referring to a team that plays in Houston.
See, you're supposed to play alone, Willie. You're supposed to say the Titans.
I'm just trying to show everybody how smart I am because I'm like, I'm
That is true.
Okay, he's going to put that you. Vanderbilt degree to use.
Yes, indeed. That was Jonathan Alexander in the Houston Chronicle writing about C.J. Stroud, the actual graph. Quote, Stroud's lack of success is a direct reflection of the offense he's running. He's a third-year quarterback learning under an inexperienced offensive coordinator who appears to be in over his head. And I don't pretend to be an expert on the Houston Texans. That's not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. But as I was reading about the Texans today in preparation for the show, the things that I was reading about the Texans, copy and paste from what we've been reading about and talking about the Tennessee Titans. There's already calls in Houston to strip their offensive coordinator, Nick Caley, of play-calling duties, which he just got. Because remember, they fired their previous offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, mm-hmm. hired Nick Caley. 3 games in, the Texans can't score. And there's already talk in Houston of stripping him of his play-calling duties. Hey, that sounds familiar, right? Both quarterbacks, both Cam Ward and C.J. Stroud, have zero protection. Cam Ward leads the NFL in sacks. C.J. Stroud last season, I believe, was second in the NFL in sacks behind Caleb Williams. Their offensive lines can't block. They're constantly under pressure. So I find it to be interesting because just a couple of years ago, C.J. Stroud was the offensive rookie of the year. He set all kinds of rookie quarterback records. Mm-hmm. And let's not get it twisted. I know that if Titans fans had the opportunity to pluck C.J. Stroud from Houston and put him on their team, they would do it in a heartbeat.
Damn Skippy.
But, Derek, I just find it interesting how Stroud's career has gone because how when you consider how well he started, he has regressed each of the past 2 seasons now. Some of that is not all on him. I just mentioned the offensive line, the play calling. A lot goes into the development of a quarterback. But what I think C.J. Stroud, Derek, as we prepare for the matchup between the Titans and the Texans, mm-hmm. I think C.J. Stroud is an interesting case study about how quarterback development isn't linear.
It's not. I mean, his first year, he wowed everybody. And that was under Bobby Slowick, I believe.
It was.
And then the second year, because of the offensive line troubles, that offense struggled a lot because of the offensive line struggles. And they had injuries. Diggs went out early in the season. Who else? They had another receiver end up getting hurt.
Tank Dell.
Yeah, Tank Dell end up getting hurt. So his weapons were being depleted as the year went on. And that offense just could never get on board. And then, you know, then you trade away your left tackle. You know, presumably he was the best, you know, offensive lineman you had. You trade away him to an offensive line that was already struggling. And this is what you have. There was no plan. I guess the plan was to do, to draft those two young receivers and to insert them in an offense, and then hopefully because of the quarterback that he would be further along. Well, when you strip him of his offensive coordinator, yeah, I know the offense struggled last year, but the offense, it seemed like they didn't have enough players. Nico was hurt some. Tank Dell was hurt. Diggs went out for the whole season. So you had this influx of guys that the quarterback didn't have previous years. So because the offense was struggling, instead of saying, you know what, and listen, I don't know, it may have been more than just the struggles on the field with Slowick and the head coach. But if it wasn't, my thing is, okay, let's reevaluate this. A lot of guys are hurt. Let's take this into next season when everybody comes back healthy and then see where we are at as an offense. They didn't do that. They fired Bobby Slowick, and look where they are at as an offense now. You're not only hurting, you know, your team, you're hurting your quarterback, which essentially is hurting your franchise. That's something the Titans should look at very closely. I'm not saying that, you know, Brian Callahan, if he doesn't get the job done, shouldn't be dismissed from his duties as a head coach. But what I'm saying is don't do it in the middle of the season. Let this thing, let it play out. And then next season, if at the end, if you want to make a change then. But don't make a change in the middle of the season, because why? What happens is he's learning a new way of going into an offense with a new head coach, and then you're going to change the head coach and offensive coordinator again at the end of the season. So why do that? Why cause your quarterback, your rookie quarterback, any setbacks no more than what he's having now?
Willie, Jeff Howe of The Athletic wrote this: among the 33 quarterbacks with at least 300 pass attempts since last season, Stroud ranks 28th out of 33 in expected points added per dropback, only better than Joe Flacco, Cooper Rush, Gardner Minshew, Spencer Rattler, and Will Levis.
Ah, yes. I felt it coming. When you started this list, I was like, I know he's on here.
But, yes, go ahead.
Couple of observations that I see from afar, because I, like you guys, I can't pretend to know what's going on day to day with Houston, but it is a great lesson in the journey of a quarterback. Number one, what fascinates me the most is how quickly they soured on Slowick. When you just spelled out, D-Mace just listed five or six very legitimate issues with personnel that would make it hard on any coordinator. Bobby Slowick went from this whiz kid who, wow, look, is he ready for a head coaching job? There were people talking about him for the Titans job. And here he is 1 year later, kicked out of there because maybe he didn't, they don't think he did what he knew what he was doing. So that to me is the most interesting. I also don't, despite these bad stats that Stroud has put up, there's not a lot of blame on Stroud. It seems like the blame has shifted to the other areas, and I think probably rightfully so, just because Stroud has shown that he can play at a high level. But the other part is the bravado that was coming out of Houston with these changes was, hey, 10-7 is not good enough. They've won a couple playoff games. Mm-hmm. That's not good enough. We need more. We think we're better than that. And it shows you that That's not the NFL. So those are the three things that I see from afar that absolutely fascinate me. I'm not really sure why. But the most important, pertinent thing, I think, for people in Nashville is it just shows you how hard it is to be a franchise quarterback. C.J. Stroud may get there someday. He's going to need some help.
Absolutely. And as I said, it appeared that C.J. Stroud was on the fast track to franchise quarterback status after his rookie season. Again, set all kinds of records and won the 2023 NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year award. But as I said, quarterback development isn't linear, and it really was shocking to me how many parallels there were between C.J. Stroud and Cam Ward in terms of what's been going wrong in Houston versus what's been going wrong so far in Tennessee, and you can even go back to last season as well. As I said, a play caller who is under fire. Again, their offensive coordinator has been the offensive coordinator for three games. He never called plays before having the job, just like Brian Callahan never called plays before having the job. Mm-hmm. Three games in, there are articles already being written in Houston about how Nick Kelly could or should be stripped of play calling duties. The Texans offensive line, I believe, lost four out of the five starters from last season. It was bad last season. Again, C.J. Stroud, second most sacks taken in the NFL behind Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And it's not going well again this season. A lot of issues with penalties. Last week against Jacksonville, Houston was called for seven penalties. Five of them were on the offensive line. So the pre-snap penalties, the illegal formations, and the false starts, and all of that that doomed the Titans have also been dooming the Texans. So even when you have a quarterback who appears to be on the path to franchise status like C.J. Stroud, after that incredible rookie season, he stalled out. And I think the Titans could learn a thing or two about the upheaval that seems to be happening on the offensive side of the ball, at least, in Houston, as to how they can prevent Cam Ward from having the same fate. Now, all Titans fans would certainly take Cam Ward being the offensive rookie of the year. But I think it's, as I said, it's an interesting case study in how quarterback development isn't linear.
I don't think he's losing steam so much as the things around him seems to be changing
right, and,
quickly.
And therefore, he has stalled.
Yeah, he's stalled.
His development has stalled.
I think him as a player, like his talent is still there. But because of what they're doing, it hasn't allowed him to, you know, take that next step. Even though, like Willie said, you know, the offseason was, we need to take that next step. You know, this is what we need to do. We got our quarterback. We got the defense. We need to take that next step. Well, you impeded him from taking that next step by the move that you chose to make as a franchise. Now, listen, you may have thought they were the best moves for everybody, but now that you're looking at it, you've put your quarterback in a hole pattern, basically. That's what he's at. That's where he's at right now. He's at a hole pattern. Has all the talent in the world. You know, y'all can ride him to the Super Bowl if you want to eventually, but right now, because of what you're doing, you've put him on hold.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What lessons can the Titans learn from C.J. Stroud's stunted development? We will answer that question coming up next. You can answer it as well at 615-737-1025. Derek and I are live at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown, just down the block, a couple of blocks away from First Bank Stadium, where the Commodores will take on Utah State tomorrow. Pregame begins at 10 a.m. on 102.5 The Game with the kickoff at 11:45. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops.
Diana, is C.J. Stroud any good? What is going on with Houston?
It's a good question. I'm writing about it this week. C.J. Stroud is really good. I think they are still trying to figure themselves out on offense. They have a new play caller. They have a different looking offensive line. I still think they're working some kinks out. So he's still good. I'm not on this. I'm not in the camp of he's ruining his opportunity here to get some mega extension. I still think C.J. Stroud can play. I just think there's still a lot of work to be done, and there's some things going on behind the scenes that I think we're gonna find out about soon.
Some things behind the scenes in Houston, according to Diana Russini on Dan Lebatard's show. Interesting. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Derek and I are live at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown. Come on out and see us. We are on the rooftop. A beautiful day in our fair city. If you're looking for something to do after work, may I suggest Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse in Midtown. The question we are going to attempt to answer at 615-737-1025, our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What lessons can the Titans learn from C.J. Stroud's stunted development in Houston? Wes on our text line says, I still don't think anything is wrong with Cam. He has potential. The team around him, I should say, is falling apart, it seems. I'm not arguing that C.J. Stroud is, I mean, I would say, let me rephrase that. I think C.J. Stroud is undergoing the same things that Cam Ward appears to be undergoing here. An offensive line that can't protect him, an inexperienced play caller that appears to be in over his head. The parallels are pretty striking between the two situations. So I agree, Wes. I don't think anything is wrong with Cam. Mm-mm. And I also agree he has potential. But in order to get the most out of a quarterback, you need to put him in an environment where he can flourish. And the Titans haven't been able to do that so far with Cam Ward, although it's only been three games. And the Texans have had that issue for the past season plus three games. The team can't score. Their defense has played well. Mm-hmm. They've been in every game, but they're 0-3 because they can't get into the end zone. So, Derek, let's start with you. Mm-hmm. What lessons can the Titans learn from how C.J. Stroud has been handled in Houston over the past couple of years?
I think essential is he needs to have some stability. Houston, they're not giving C.J. Stroud stability. So that's pretty much what's hurting him. And then the offensive line. But those are the issues that you have, too, and you're trying to rectify those issues. It just hasn't worked out this season because of injuries. But I think the most glaring one is not allowing, you know, the coordinator and the quarterback to continue to develop that chemistry. Now, maybe they fired him because he and Slowick and C.J. Stroud didn't have that chemistry. I don't know. But that hasn't come out. So, to me, you've disconnected anything that the quarterback may have had with Slowick, the development he was going through with Slowick and growing with him. You disconnected that, and now you got to start a whole new line with someone else, and it seems like that's not working. So, to me, the Titans don't fall into this trap that Houston has fallen in. It seems like you're slowly doing it. You've already changed the coordinators. You don't need to go no further than that. You need to let it stay where it is now. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, at the end of the season, you make a wholesale change. But to continue to make changes is only going to hurt in season is only going to hurt the quarterback. So don't do what Houston did as far as not building that chemistry, that continued chemistry and development with the quarterback and the offensive coordinator.
Willie, how would you answer that question?
Well, I think I'm similar to D-Mace in that the word that comes to my mind is continuity, because we have argued and shown so many examples of when a young quarterback has a lack of continuity, there's a price to be paid. So Houston rolled the dice. They didn't think the track they were on, 10-ish wins, playoff wins, was good enough. And so they said, let's scrap it. We think we can do better. But when you do that, you can also be worse. And so far, they're worse. They changed not only the offensive coordinator to a guy, by the way, Nick Caley, who is another one of the Sean McVay guys, right? It's just when in doubt, take a guy from Sean McVay's family tree because he's a genius. But he had never called in plays, I don't believe, right? Nick Caley was not a
correct
tight end coach.
Yep.
So you bring in a guy who's never called plays, and they basically uprooted the entire offensive line. So that's two pretty big areas of lack of continuity. I can see why they did it on the offensive line because it wasn't good. But they were winning, at least with the old offensive line. And C.J. Stroud was supposedly the big theme, and the talking point was, well, now he's got more responsibilities pre-snap. He can get him in the right play. He didn't have the freedom to audible that much last year. Now he does. Well, be careful what you wish for, because when you roll the dice and you don't have continuity, there's a price to be paid.
To Willie's point, here's a story from ESPN.com after the Titans fired Bobby Slowick. And it mentions the fact that Stroud wasn't allowed to change protections at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And there was a lack of communication between the two, which led to Stroud facing 52 unblocked pressures, which was the second most in the NFL. As Willie mentioned, a big change in Houston this season is that Stroud asked for more ownership of the offense, and D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caley gave it to him. So Stroud has been able to change protections and call audibles before the snap, which I guess he hadn't been able to do in his first 2 years. And so far, he's struggling with it. So I see the Texans. I see, look, I would take C.J. Stroud on my team anytime. Mm-hmm. Even though things haven't been going well for him in his second and third years, so far third year, in the NFL. I would take him on my team in a heartbeat. But it just, as I said earlier, it just goes to show you that even if a quarterback comes right out of the draft, and Stroud was the second overall pick in the NFL draft, a quarterback can come right out of the draft and knock your socks off and set all kinds of records. And 2 years later, I mean, there are headlines. There was a headline. Let me just rephrase that. There was one headline, a singular headline in The Athletic, wondering if C.J. Stroud is playing his way out of one of those mega extensions, at least for now. So it changes rapidly, but it's important for the Titans. Look, we all know this. It's important for the Titans to have stability in that organization, which they've had absolutely none of over the past couple of years. And this past week was another example of the Tennessee Titans' lack of stability. The head coach, after three games into his second season, relinquishing play calling. And we will get to what we expect from Bo Hardigree and his play calling debut in just a few moments. But, you know, it sounds nice. Hey, stability would really help Cam Ward. Have y'all seen the Tennessee Titans over the past few years? Do I need to go through the timeline? The Tennessee Titans are not a prime example of stability.
Well, that's why Brian Callahan needs to prove, that he is a head coach. Aside from, he's already proven that he can't do both. Now he just needs to prove that he's a head coach, because if he doesn't prove that he's a head coach, they're firing everybody, which means the clock starts again for this rookie quarterback. Now, the saving grace is he wasn't 2 or 3 years into this offense. It's just a season into the offense. But this is his time to prove that he's a head coach, because if he proves that he's a head coach, if you prove that you can handle what we're giving you, you know, as far as the head coaching duties, then we will keep you on. But if you can't prove that you can handle even a head coaching duties, then why do we have you here as an employee?
Willie?
You touched on something that I think is worth featuring, Adam, and that is the contract situation for C.J. Stroud, because despite the struggles, He's already done enough. He's going to get a big chunk of money from the Texans. They're not getting rid of him. And therefore, there's more pressure of him now becoming in the category of a Tua or a Trevor Lawrence, right? Paid big because, hey, we don't want to go out into the wilderness with no – remember last year we talked about the frontier and the wilderness when you don't have a quarterback and who you might come along? It's bleak out there, right? They've got C.J. Stroud. They're like, wait, we got to. They're going to have to pay him, though, which means less margin for error in the rest of your roster. And someday the Titans are going to be faced with this. So they've got to make the right moves here. So the C.J. there is more pressure on Stroud, and there's going to be even more when he starts making the big money. So this is really a story to watch. And, of course, if you're the Titans, you're hoping to bring them down to your level. You hope everybody else in the division keeps screwing stuff up so that it'll be easier for you to climb.
Yeah, what the Texans have to figure out is whether C.J. Stroud's struggles are a Stroud issue or a Texans issue. And then the Texans have to decide if it is a Texans issue, if they can fix what ails them if you're paying C.J. Stroud, what, $50 million? Because look what's happening in Miami. Willie mentioned Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's a perfect example. He's getting paid a lot. The Dolphins are winless, and it looks like they made a gigantic mistake by paying Tua that money. So it is a story to watch, not just in the AFC South, but in the NFL, because, again, just as quickly as you can rise to the top, you can plummet to the bottom. And I'm not saying C.J. Stroud has plummeted to the bottom, but so far this season, and even through last season, it's clear that his trajectory, which seemed to be, look, he looked like he had a rocket strapped to his back. And it's not that case, at least right now. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans matchup against the also winless Houston Texans this Sunday in Texas. 615-737-1025. But coming up next, there will be a play calling debut on the Titans sideline this week. Bo Hardigree will be calling plays for the first time for the Tennessee Titans after receiving those duties from Brian Callahan. What will we be looking for from the Titans offense in Bo Hardigree's play calling debut? We will get to that next. 615-737-1025. The MTSU Blue Raiders will take on Kennesaw State tomorrow at 5. You can catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com.